Hey KK, thanks for talking to us, man. Man, we have so many things to catch up on. The second KK's Priest album is massive. I can't believe it's album number two already. We've seen One More Shot at Glory. I mean, there's so many cool songs on the record. How are you feeling? I mean, you guys are in a groove right now.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, really. Really so busy, which is good, isn't it? Really. Like I
Yeah.
say, it's tremendously exciting now to have a second album out at the end of the month, 29th, and just working on another new video to come out on the same day to coincide. We're going to do a song called Hymn 66, which is going to be great. So working on that at the moment, plus doing lots of interviews, and also we're prepping to go back out and do some more shows at the end of the month as well, with Paul Di'Anno and the Burning Witches, another
Yes.
Napalm act. So tremendously exciting to do that. We're doing some UK shows, then we're going to go to Malta, and really we're waiting for promoters to say, come on, let's bring KK to America, Canada, South America, Japan, Germany, everywhere. So, but I guess that it's inevitable that that's going to happen. So that's what we're working towards.
I think it's really cool how you guys are gonna hook up with Paul. You got that Maiden Priest thing going yet again, in 2023. That made me smile. I can't wait.
Yeah. Who'd have thought that myself and Paul, but anyway, lots of people don't know, but I must tell the story because obviously there was a bit of rubbing of the antlers back in 1980 when we were just finishing up British Steel. And then I opened up the music paper because back then we were very fortunate. We had the New Musical Express and the Melody Maker and all of these weekly music papers, which was what we thrived on, because we could see all the gigs and everything like that. But anyway, and then I read the headline, Iron Maiden are gonna blow the bollocks off Judas Priest. I'm going, are they? Who the hell are these guys? I've never heard of the band. But anyway, they were kind of it was thought that they were gonna support us on their first British tour, which is our British Steel tour, which they did do. Back then I said, no, I'm not going to put up with all of this. I know tons of bands who would love to have the opportunity to come on tour with us, and they're going to be really grateful and really think that we are the best thing since sliced bread, I'm going to re but and but anyway, a lot after all said and done, the guys came on tour with us, and it was about 1986, I think, we were on tour, and I think Bon Jovi was supporting us in America, and I met Paul way back then, and Paul said, sorry about that, KK, and we kissed and hugged up and had a beer. We've been buddies ever since, it's all been over such a long time, but it's great to have the opportunity to go out there. And as you said, David, like the Priest Maiden connection, it's kind of good, really. A couple of the black sheep of the family, we're getting together, and me from Priest, Paul from Maiden, and we're going out there, and I think it's going to be pretty nostalgic in that respect as well, playing some of those old songs. So we did one gig together already, and it was great,
Awesome.
But this
Love
time
it.
we got the ladies on there, the absolute epitome of like the all-girl Judas Priest band, Burning Witches, because
Yep.
they look great, they wear the gear, that they perform great, and when I watch them, I'm thinking, yeah, they are like a Judas Priest from back in the day, all metal, look good, pay a lot of attention to how they look and perform, and I like that, and I'm very much looking forward to. I did meet the girls actually a week or two ago when we played Legend Leyendas de Rock in Spain, the festival there,
Yeah.
that because they were playing that festival the day after, I think, or the day before. But anyway, they made an effort to come and see us, and we hung out for a bit, which was really cool.
That's awesome. That's so cool. You know, I know when we talked before, when the first KK's Priest album came out, you were itching to get on the tour. There was still kind of I think with COVID, things were still kind of up in the air and such. I mean, to have some shows under your belt now as KK's Priest, I mean, it's got to just feel really good. Everything's been looking great. The set's been looking great. The music's been sounding great. I mean, it's got to just be a thrill.
We're doing good considering we got off to not a very good start, as we know. I did the first album happened really, really quick, and then suddenly, you know, the guillotine came down, the COVID thing, so that held us back. And then so I think like most bands, I just thought, well, better do another album then, you know. So got that done, put all the songs together really fast, thinking, oh yeah, we're going, and then we it happened that we parted ways with our first label that released the first record. So then that departure took time, and recruiting a new label, Napalm Now, which we're all very happy with. It's a good home for us and a good home for metal. And so we kind of missed the boat again with this year's tour dates. You know, we were really fortunate that we did pick up some headline festivals. Spots, that was really good. And then we just picked up a bonus gig at Bloodstock Festival going on. Megadeth closed the show, we went on before Megadeth, and that was a great bonus because we just got off the stage in Belgium doing a headline spot for Alcatraz Festival, and we just made our way over to England and played the next night, which was brilliant. And But we fully expect to be inundated, you know, with for next year's festival. So, but it's all good. And obviously, we need to come to America yet.
Yes, you do.
Is it the Monsters of Rock tour in is it February, March? We're doing that.
Awesome.
You know, so looking forward to going to Florida and jumping on that. But obviously, what we want to do before that is do some shows in the States, or even later this year if we can put it together.
You got to play Philly and Detroit.
Strike of the Viper, Reap the Whirlwind, One More Shot at Glory so far. Just incredibly hard. What's different about this album, Sinner Rides Again? I mean, it's hard as nails already. Do you feel like? I mean, how do you feel like this sits in KK Downing's metal canon?
To me, I mean, I'm really, really happy with both albums, you know. And I think the production, the sound on the second album is a little bit edgier and, a little bit more metalized, you know, similar to what we did with the Painkiller album compared to everything we'd done before. I think on the first album, I was pretty happy to go a little bit kind of retro with it, you know, not overly distort the guitars and not too much compression and stuff like that. You know, I kind of like that, you know, and I still think some of those songs could rightfully fit on Stained Glass or British Steel or wherever in the Priest catalogue, you know, but, you know, in respect of... Not as though that was the intention. It was just the fact that I like that kind of side of classic metal sound, you know.
Yeah.
And but also decided to just ratchet it up a little bit on the new album. But apart from that, the content, you know, I think if we did the same treatment to the first album production-wise, that'd probably sound, it'd just sound like a big double album or vice versa. That's the only difference.
Mm. Yeah. How do you stay in? I mean, I was going to say, how do you stay inspired? But it's, you know, you're made of metal. So that's how. When you write, does it, I mean, is it the same process of coming up with riffs? I mean, walk us through kind of just that process and when you get those goosebumps, when you have a riff that just blows your mind.
Well, I think the thing is definitely, it's always been the way for me, really. I've always gone on to autopilot. That's because you know, one thing you can't do is like be influenced by other people or other players. You know, I mean, consider on the, like I said, years and years ago, I decided I want to play guitar, but Jimi Hendrix is like my absolute idol and my god.
Yes.
how can I go forward, you know? And I decided not to learn his songs. I did learn some of them. I'm lying, you know. I did learn some of them. And I did actually play like Spanish Castle Magic in like 1969 at a pub somewhere in Birmingham, and it was great. I couldn't resist it, you know what I mean? So there's a couple of songs that I played. I've got to stop doing that because it's all going to go wrong. I've got to be me, you know. But so I know that there's certain ingredients that are embedded in me and my body and soul, you know, from the great man himself. But I've always kind of thought that, you know, I'll just try to go to try to dig deep and I need to be myself, you know. So I can't play a Strat. I've got to play a Flying V. So give that up, you know, to me.
Right.
I can't, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, I want the ingredients live and in studio, you know, and I want that, you know, but I want it to be discreet enough that people go, you sounded like Jimi Hendrix, you're copied, you know. And so it's kind of been that kind of journey for me, you know. So it's been, I've had to allow me to take over all of that, you know. And, but really, like with the songwriting, I think it's fair to say that when that happened and we started to achieve success, you know, in my own right as a writer and as a player, you know, then it kind of started to come out that there was this other style, and which I love and I'm a part of, and it's a part of me. And so I want to bring little bits of my heritage and legacy in my life into the present and into the future on this journey with me. I don't want to leave everything that I have been and I am, you know, including my guitar sound, the way I write, the way I produce, the way I hear things, you know. I don't want to leave all of that in the dust, and why should I, you know?
Right.
And that goes the same like with the name, really, KK's Priest. I've always been a priest, you know, although beating Judas Priest, but, you know, I've been such a major part of that, and I can't change things. I've got to go forward with everything, but I'm like, what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing and everything and the band, and like we're a new old band, and I like that as well. And I think it fits into quite pleasantly to a nice kind of void in what's happening, or rather what isn't happening today, and today's classic metal scene, you know. And for that reason, I think that we will all being well, achieve a good amount of success on the back of that, I think, really, because I, as a metal fan, can see that there's a bit of a void for this band to just slot into, really, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. KK, I mean, it's definitely a special thing. Somebody recently said, Jay Maskus of Dinosaur Jr. recently said in an interview, because you were just talking about Jimi Hendrix, he said nobody, in his opinion, has ever played Jimi Hendrix songs as good as Jimi. Would you agree with that statement?
Yes. Yes.
He said nobody can play it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Well, I can tell you exactly why, is what I think. Because Jimmy's been gone now 50 years. I don't know, 1970. It's
September of 70, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so if somebody comes along and spends 50 years learning a Jimi Hendrix song and solo and plays it absolutely perfectly, tone and everything, if that's ever possible to do that, it's still not as good because he's not the original.
Yep.
And it's took him 50 years to get there.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to say, I just saw a video on the internet with Richie Machange's My Solo. Those were like for like comparisons, you know. And, oh yeah, but Rich KK, look, he's on fire. He's doing it great. Richie's great as well. But hang on, and Richie's had 40 years to practice that solo, and I just got. The comparison was me playing live. Somebody captured it on their mobile phone, and I've done 5 shows in 12 years or 13 years, so I haven't practiced it much, but I mean, come on, that's what I think anyway, because it's easy to roll the wheel, but it wasn't easy to invent it.
Right.
Lots of people can roll it, but there's not many fuckers that can go out and invent it, right?
So... Yes. you mentioned Rich, and I know you had a chance to, the Rock Hall to play with Priest, and we obviously want to ask you about that, but what was it like to, after all that time, to meet Richie? I mean, can you talk about what it was like to
we get on real well together, because obviously if it wasn't him, it would have been someone else doing that job, and that's all there is to it. We had separate dressing rooms where that was arranged for myself and Les Binks at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but lots of people knocked the door and came in, from Dave Grohl to the guys from Duran Duran. Lots of people, but Richie was one of them, and he came in a couple of times and we had a laugh. We get on good, and I get on really well with Andy. In fact, I spoke to Andy Snoop yesterday about a technical thing to do with a Kemper profiler, because he knows, So, Andy, can you suggest how I can get rid of this glitching noise, you know what I mean, on the high end? Yeah, so we spoke yesterday, but like I said, I've been up to his place a couple of times, when, even before he was in his band Hell, at his studio up there in Derbyshire, which is lovely, Andy's a nice guy, so that's all good. It's only the guys that are dead a lifetime with,
right? Jeez.
Yeah. Oh man,
no improvements there in communication, or just any sort of meeting of minds or anything.
Graciously, people seem to be quite respectful to me. People that that I haven't spent a lifetime working with, they.
Yeah.
Well, you recently said I gave them one last chance on that, and you say you won't be making any more appearances on stage with Judas Priest. Is that something you're really standing by, or are you just that's just how you feel at the moment?
Well, I asked them if they want me to step back into the role a couple of times, in writing. The answer came back no. So it is what it is, and then I write, okay, fine. Then I will start this, and that's what I've done. And now I'm pretty happy, really, because I've rediscovered. I mean, I used to write on the material for the band back in the late 60s, early 70s, and I forgot what it was like to be. It's kind of nice to put material down and just say what goes and what doesn't yourself, without having to collaborate and everything takes so long, it's great just to get on with it.
Yeah. Is it more like, cause I saw in that last interview, you said that Ian and Glenn said, I guess through their attorneys, they had written through their attorneys, that the answer was no. You go as far back with Ian. I mean, you go the farthest back with him, right? I mean, is it a bit, difficult?
The worst thing about the whole thing is that Ian has denied me the opportunity to step back into the band. We went to we went to kindergarten together, you know, we've always been, you know, we were like brothers, you know. We spent many years at the back of the bus complaining about everybody else. I always thought it was me and him, you know, for many years. But I just don't know how that can happen, like I say. And Rob left the band for 14 years.
Right.
And I was instrumental in getting inviting him back into the band. How can he deny me the opportunity to go on stage and play my songs? They're saying, we're going to do it, but you can't. Because Ian and Rob never wrote any of the music for this band.
Right. That's what I was wondering. I was just wondering, because it's like, do you feel like Ian has he been pressured by management or pressured by Rob and Glenn? Or do you think, I mean, we were just curious about the dynamic. I mean,
something's wrong somewhere. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You know, how can Ian, the bass player that's never written any songs, deny me the opportunity of being in the band, you know, all of those years, and I've written all of those songs and riffs, how could he stand over there and play bass and not allow me to play the guitar to those songs? It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense not to have the original guy back, you know, from the trademark lineup. It doesn't make any sense. Am I that bad?
No. Your playing's better than ever. I mean, your playing is better than ever.
But anyway, so I've gone ahead and made two albums in 2 years, and those guys have done two albums in 14 years. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Is it all attorneys and business? And is this the business end of music, the bad side that's basically causing all this, you think? Management?
Well, somebody out there is decided that I am going to change history, and I'm going to be the one that's going to decide what the fans hear and what they don't, and who they see and who they don't. Somebody in that band is making those decisions. But they only have it on their conscience, really, because we all know, you know, what the fans, I mean, Ripper is a great singer, and he made two great albums with us. We did so many tours, and he's a lovely guy, you know, and he's great. But, you know, the fan demand to have Rob back in the band was just too overwhelming, really, because, you know, and because Rob, I guess, their assertion is Rob is the voice of the band, just like Freddie Mercury with Queen or Bruce with Maiden, and the list goes on and on and on. You know, so that's undeniable, you know, and I think that, you know, Tim would be the first to acknowledge that and get that. Do you know what I mean? Even if he sang the songs better, as we spoke, you know what I mean? It's still, you know, Rob is the voice of Judas Priest. But now, gladly, Ripper is the voice of KK's Priest, because that guy is singing so much better than even I've ever heard him before. It's fantastic. So I'm so fortunate to have him, you know, back in the saddle with us.
Yeah.
Dave, I just had one quick
go
one.
Go for it,
here.
Brother. Go for it.
KK, if Glenn, Rob, Ian, and Scott came to you, said, we're making one last Judas Priest album and we want you to play on it, would you even consider doing that at this point, or are you just over it?
One thing's for sure, that will never happen, ever. Because who would the band be? Who would be in the band?
It would be Glenn, Rob, Ian, KK,
Scott.
I guess Richie and Richie, Scott, and
well, guys, I don't know. I know Glenn's retired from touring, but whether he can write and record, I don't know. I haven't had an update on Glenn's health, you know, sadly. I really don't know. But it's only because I'm so close and in the industry, I heard an awful lot of things from a long time ago, you know. But like I say, unconfirmed, but I don't know. But if it was, sorry, who? What was the lineup again? Me, Glenn.
Be you, Glenn, Rob, Ian, Scott, and Richie.
So we were three. Three guitars.
A maiden style, yeah. Three guitars.
Three guitars now. No, I mean, I guess Glenn, I don't know how, what the state of Glenn is at this point. So, I mean, what if it was just you and Richie? Would you even consider coming back if it was you and Richie playing with Glenn, Rob, and Ian and Scott?
I would have to say at this point, I spent a lot of time and effort, you know, trying to work things out in a way, you know.
Yeah.
It's pretty complicated stuff, you know. Like I say, I wasn't happy with a lot of things. The 50th anniversary book, yeah. You know, and everything that's done, you know, I don't get anything, any money from any of that whatsoever.
Wow.
So it gets tough to see all the merchandise with all of these images that I paid for, you know, and was a part of creating a lot of these images. You know, it gets very commercial, the whole thing, and maybe that's what it's all about anyway. But, you know, the first 3-4 years of Judas Priest, the 50 years, you know, Glenn and Rob weren't there. So how does it become a 50th anniversary book if you don't include the first years? Yeah. You know, and it wasn't right to do that and ask the fans to pay $500 for a book that's not accurate, you know. But there's so many things, grievances, you know, it gets to be a quagmire, doesn't it, you know. But, you know, and considering in 2010, we all as friends, as directors of the company, as businessmen, as bandmates, you know, all of that, we all decided to end the band.
Mm.
We all decided to retire in 2010. The management, and I've got the emails said, we needed to think of a tour title that means the definitive end of the band. So the tour title was the Epitaph Tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but because of certain circumstances, I was being asked to write an EP to support the tour. So I'm saying, so you want me to end my career on an EP? I'm not going to do it. So there was lots of disgruntlement then. And I eventually went, right, if nobody's going to listen to me, you can do the farewell tour on your own. I'm not doing it. Mm. And so I opted out to do the farewell tour. 15 years later, you know, so if it's easy to say now, but if the idea was for them to carry on, you know, I should have known about it. I should have been told about it. Or at least if the option was that they were going to carry on, I should have had the option to, I should have said, we're carrying on, you know, will you step back in?
Because we were just thinking, I mean, to have 50 years, the 50th anniversary tour, and you not be there at least for, you know, a selection of shows or something, it just didn't sit right at all. And it's clearly an injustice with the book and not seeing revenues from that. I mean, my gosh, it's just.
But then they quickly announced, and maybe they were surprised that, you know, Richie would bring a newfound energy to the band. And because that's what they said in statements to the press. And they also said, well, none of the fans are missing KK. So maybe they felt, I don't know, reborn without me, which is a bit odd because I actually felt at the time in 2010 that I was the energy in the band, that everybody else seemed to be just going through the motions. I didn't know about Glenn's illness at the time, you know, but something didn't seem right. I do know that Rob released 2 studio albums in 2010 and did a world tour, including the Ozfest, singing Judas Priest songs. and everybody was in fear that he was going to take off again. So we thought that all of these reasons was why we needed to fold a tent, really, on Judas Priest. And that's what we planned.
Yeah.
So it the goalpost, someone moved the goalpost on me, I'm afraid.
Right, right. That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it's really what it sounds like.
Yeah. I don't think. I think Richie brought energy to Judas Priest, but I think if you ask any Priest fan, we miss you.
Yeah.
You know, in that band, absolutely.
Thank you so much, guys. That's good, and I can understand why I was there so long.
Yeah.
I was like an old shoe or a wart. Yeah. A wart on your neck or something, you know.
You,
I was a part of life.
Well, it's like Eddie Trunk or somebody said that, you know, like whatever set list they put together, you know, and 85% of that stuff, more than that even, is stuff that you wrote. I mean, that's, you know, to this day, like your imprint is 40 plus years, my gosh, you know.
The last tour that they just did, I saw the set list and they were playing one song off the two albums they did. All the rest were my songs.
Yeah.
So I can only surmise, you know, that there's commercial aspects and just, I don't know. Maybe Glenn didn't really ever want me to be there and him not to be there. I don't know. Maybe he saw that as an end of an era. And I think he's right, as far as I'm concerned. Rob always wanted success with what he was doing, Fight and Two and the Halford Band. And if he'd have, I really believe if he'd have had success being a solo player, he would have done, but now he's got his wish, really, because it just seemed to me, after 40 years of myself and Glenn and you know, the archetypal heavy metal Judas Priest band, I mean, to me, I think that this, you know, is a Halford band, because Rob did take Scott with him for the first two Fight albums.
Oh, yeah.
So really, it's the Halford band to me, guys.
Yeah.
Hi, everybody. This is Rob Halford.
The Rudy Sergeant.
Hey, this is Steve Hickey.
Hey, folks, this is Rick Emmett of Triumph.
And we're talking rock with Dave and Shane.
Hey!